And verse number 4 says, according as He hath chosen us. Now here's the important part, if you read it. In Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I'll stop there and let's pray. Father, Lord, I just want to thank You for this time. I want to thank You for everyone here. Lord, I want to thank You for Your goodness and grace. And Lord, I want to thank You for salvation. Thank You for eternal security. Lord, I know I sure don't deserve it. And Lord, I just want to thank You for Your words. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand these things. Lord, I pray that You'd help anyone else that listens, dear Lord. And Lord, I just pray that You would mold us and make us into what You want us to be in You. And we thank You for all these many blessings that are in You, Lord. And I ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This is a verse here that John Calvin got very sidetracked on and went plumb out in left field, if I could say that. And y'all, this thing here should be, if you'll go by the text, it's not that hard. I'll say that. And I want to speak to you on the subject of, if I get to all this, chosen and in children and in accepted, the acceptance of those in Christ. And I don't know, I may have to break this thing up in three sections. It don't matter. I'm going to take my time. But speaking of this thing on this chosen and all these things like this, one man, there's a story about a man who he was wanting to gain wisdom. And he said, I'm going to go to this wise man, and I hear he's the wisest in all the land. And I'm going to trick this guy. Because he figured he was wiser than the wise man, you know. And so he goes to the wise man. He said, in his mind, I got this bird in my hand. He said, what I'm going to do is, he said, I'm going to ask this wise man, is the bird alive or is it dead? And if the wise man says the bird's alive, he says, I'm going to kill it. And I'm going to open my hand and show him it's dead. But he said, if he says it's dead, he said, I'm just going to show him it's alive. And he said, he goes to the wise man and he says, what, Mr. Wise Man, I've got a bird in the palm of my hand. Is this bird alive or is it dead? And the wise man said, that's entirely up to you. And you know what? That's how that thing goes. God is so powerful. He's called the Almighty. He is able to give man gifts. And you know what He gave you? The choice to choose. That Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah was able to stand up there and ask those people. He said, you need to choose whether you'll serve God or serve Baal. He gives you that choice. In the garden, Adam and Eve had a choice. And man has a choice. He has a free will. That's why you have those free will offerings in the Bible. They're called free will offerings. All right. But at the same time, there's a thing that's came across down through the years, and the Calvinists will say this: you're either Calvinist or you're an Arminian. They say it's that cut and dry. It's not. Let's look at something. I just want to show you maybe something that'd be a help to you that maybe you haven't seen, and maybe it'd be something you can mark down and be a help because it was to me. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4, and it's amazing to me how answers are in the Bible in places that you normally would not think. That's why the Lord says in Matthew, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You have to have every word because you never know where the answer is going to come from. You know, the Bible says in Romans 15 that we get comfort from the Scriptures. Now, what if God held our comfort until we got to the right Scripture? That'd be something, wouldn't it? Why? Because I can tell you, I've held my own self from getting comfort. Why? Because I skip my daily Bible reading and stuff like that. And you know what? I get in there after a thing has happened, after I've went through needless pain. You know that song, Much Needless Pain We Bear? And I've got in that text and said, man, I wish I'd read that 2 weeks ago. And I mean, that's an honest testimony to you. I'm just telling you, I'm a man just like anybody else. And I have messed up because why? I didn't get in that scripture and fellowship with the Lord. And I missed out on that comfort. Now here's some things here. Let me show you something. Right in the temptation, I want to show you. The first thing is an Arminian. Verse 3 it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Alright. What you see in verse 3 is here's the temptation of the Arminian. It's do it yourself. You know what the Arminian does? The Arminian thinks he can do it. It's the Arminian thinks he's keeping his own salvation. Now who's keeping you? The Lord Jesus Christ. So right there in the temptation, there's the Arminian in the temptation. The devil's saying, look, just command these stones, just do it yourself. That's a temptation there that, look, you can't do things your own self. Why? You can mess up. Why? The Bible says in John 15, verse 4, without me ye can do nothing. So you know what you gotta have? You got to have God to get anything done that's worth anything. But you know what you can do on your own? Every man has went to his own way. You can do something on your own, and it'll be a mistake, and you can mess up. Now there's Arminian temptation. Watch the Calvinist though. In verse number 6, it says the devil, you know, in verse 5, took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know what the Calvinist temptation is? Just let God do it. Just cast yourself down. He's going to get you anyway. Well, don't witness to anybody. They're going to get saved anyway. Don't do it while God's already made everything that's happened. It's going to happen. Look, that's the Calvinist temptation. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be a Bible believer. You know what the Lord did in every one of these temptations? The Lord said, it is written. It is written. Now, you know what that is? That's He's showing you how to be a Bible believer. Why? Our mentality toward the text ought to be, what does the Bible say? We've got to get in our mind to where we think like this. Right? It don't matter what my pastor says. It don't matter what that book says. Look, I've got a lot of good books in there. I've got a lot of good stuff in there. But where they contradict the Bible at, the book is wrong, the man is wrong, and the Bible's right. You've got to get that over and over. That's like this. Your feelings will contradict. Now let me show you something. Just on this subject, turn to 1 John chapter 2. This is why you got to get this way. Because this has something to do with Ephesians 1:4 in the fact of this. There's been a lot of great men down through the centuries who's had a lot of good teachings. You know what? But where they're off on the Bible at, we're supposed to go with God and go with the Bible and say that man was off on that one, but he's right on this over here. As long as he's right with the Bible, that's okay. But where he gets off on the Bible at, that's where we jump ship with him at and say, hey, I'm on with God. Now, why does I say that? Your feelings can fool you. Your friends can fool you. All kind of other things can fool you. Why? You have got to make sure that you check it with God. That's got to be something over. Now, what does God say? What does God say? Why? Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 says this, verse number 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. Now, y'all, this is, you want to have assurance in your heart. This is, I hope every one of you want to have assurance. What is it? Am I, verse John chapter 3. Man, hey, thank the Lord for my wife. She looked at it, she said, that's not right. But I'm glad she told me that. All right. Now you want to have assurance in your heart before Him and shall assure our hearts before Him. Now, we're going to see something here that I think is a really good principle concerning how to believe Bible doctrine and just how to have peace and assurance in your heart in general. Why? You got to keep this in mind. What does Bible say about your heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know what you can do? You can read things into there that's not there. Why? You can try to make that Bible say something it don't say, and you can get false conviction that's not even there.
Yeah.
You can say, I'm supposed to believe this certain way because so-and-so. I'm supposed to believe. And man, you can get false conviction and take assurance from your heart. It says this, for if our heart condemn us, what's condemning you? God didn't, did he?
That's right.
Your heart did. Watch this. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have then have confidence toward God. Now, you know what you'll find out right there? Your heart can make you think you're lost when you're really saved. Why? Because your heart's deceptive. It's going with the devil. Your heart can think you're right on a verse when you're really wrong on a verse. Your heart can think that you need to be convicted on a thing when you don't need to be really convicted on a thing. There are people who believe false doctrine. You got some of these Roman Catholics and things like that. They are so convicted, they believe that if they don't believe right on the Pope, or if they don't go by the Pope, man, they have a false conviction. And man, if you talk bad about the Pope, they're convicted with a false conviction. Well, you know what? I've had false conviction on things that I shouldn't even been convicted on anyway. Why? Because I didn't know. I had been deceived. My heart, see? My heart, I didn't have assurance. My heart had condemned me on something it shouldn't been condemned on. Now look here. Some people, I've talked with a man up at the office here a while back. He was just convinced he was lost. And I talked to him, I said this. He said, man, I'm terrible. You don't know how bad I am. I'll tell you, man, he said, man, I've got this going on. I got the other thing. He said, I get mad at the drop of a hat and stuff like that. And I said, man, you're a man. Who doesn't? I was sitting there thinking, man, he's describing me. All right. And anything he said, man, I just believe I'm lost. I said, have you ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ, a sinner, and trusted what he did for you on the cross? Yes, I've done that. Well, man, the Bible, I took him through the Bible and showed him the verse. I said, the Bible said if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're saved. Now, what's happened to him? He's let this one over here talk to him, let another one over here talk to him, and let his heart, his deceptive heart, convince him of something. Well, but God is greater than that. Does that make sense? God is able to even though, let's say somebody died in that state thinking they were lost. Does that mean they're lost? No, that doesn't. God's greater than that thing. Why? Because somebody has deceived them. I know one gentleman right now, a nice fella. He's gotten saved, but he's got a lot of Pentecostals in his family. And the Pentecostals gotten him to thinking that he's got to be water baptized to be saved. Well, so what's happening? He's got this, his heart's condemning him for something it shouldn't even be convicted about. And what's happened? The Bible says if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're saved, and it don't matter what your heart tells you or anybody else. If you're saved, you're saved. And what happens? God is greater than that. So I'm telling you this, that's like getting off on verses and stuff. Y'all, one of these days, God's going to come back and straighten every one of us out. Wow, one of these days, even the people who are way out there in the left field, they're going to believe right one of these days. You know what? And the people who don't believe that word of God that you've got in your hand is true, they're going to be told that word of God is true, every jot and every tittle. So I'm saying this, we need to pray that God will have us to be convicted on the right things. Well, you can get false. We've heard about false conviction. I've had false conviction. Some people think things are wrong. They're really not wrong. Some people think things are right. They're really not right. God's greater than that. So you got to remember that when you're looking at some of these verses here and ask God, what does the text say, not what does it mean? Why do I say that? Because I can tell you this. I want us to look at these verses and look at the words of them and say, what does the text say? Now, according to this, I want to give you some thoughts on the chosen. All right? Number one, and you can jot this down or not, no man is in Christ until he's saved. That verse tells you, in verse 3, it says, he who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, whereat in Christ. You don't get the blessings unless you're in Christ. All right? And it says in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us, whereat in him. You're not chosen unless you're in Christ. Does that make sense? Now, watch this. Look at verse number 6. I'm just jumping halfway down. Wherein he hath made us accepted, whereat in the beloved. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in Matthew 3 verse 17, the Father spoke down. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Where you're only accepted in Christ. That's why all these false groups and the sodomites and everything else, you know why they're always wanting to be accepted, accepted. Why? Because they're not accepted in Christ, so they're trying to counterfeit that acceptance. You're only accepted in Christ. Now look at this. It says in verse 7, in whom? Where? Who's he talking about? The subject's Christ. You don't get washed in the blood unless you're in Christ. You got to be in Christ to have the redemption. You got to trust Christ there. All those things. Look at verse 10. It says, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You see, these things are all in Christ. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And it goes on and on and on. So, you're not saved in Christ. You don't have blessings till you're in Christ. And all these things are in Christ. Here's another thing. Every unsaved man is in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22 tells you that whenever you're born, you're in Adam. So, you got to get out of Adam to be able to get into Christ. Now, if you were in Christ before the foundation of the world, then you would have had to have got out of Christ, get back in Adam. All right, and then you get back in Christ, then you realize you're lost. You're out of. Does that make sense? How this in and out and in, that don't make any sense. So, when you're born, you are born in Adam, and you got to get in Christ. Now, listen to this. In John 6, verse 70. I want to read this verse to you, mark it in your margin if you'd like to, or turn there either one, but we're not going to stay here long. The Bible says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" It's possible that these people are talking about, I'm chosen. It's possible to be chosen and be a devil. Here's a chosen person going to hell. All right, look at John 15, verse 16. We got to get these things straight. John 15, verse 16. And we're going to see that all the glory, all the praise has got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're going to find it in Him. All right, John 15, verse number 16. He says this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." What's he chosen, ordained them to do? To go bring forth fruit. "And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." What you'll find out, he chose them to be disciples. He didn't force them to leave their nets. They're chosen for a purpose. Now, having said that, we're not, excuse me, we're not chosen to be in Christ. We're chosen in Him. That text in Ephesians 1:4 says you are chosen in Him. So, this is what we're going to go over. God places the believer in Christ to share Christ's election. Now look at Isaiah 42. You got to find out who the elect is. Isaiah 42. And we'll try to pull these things together. I think it'll be a blessing once you see it. But I'm going to tell you this, man's not going to get any glory. It's going to all go to the Lord. And that's why you're not going to find anything that's worth anything unless it's in Christ. And I'll say this too, as far as physical blessings and blessings day to day, you'll notice that whenever you're in fellowship with Christ, your day goes better. Whenever you're in fellowship with Christ, your Bible study goes better. Whenever you're in fellowship with Christ, your relationships go better. Why? Because it's not going to be blessed unless it's in Christ. All the blessings are in Christ. Now you say, well, what about all these lost people and stuff like that who have got... I know some lost people got good relationships and stuff like that. That's all earthly. It don't have anything eternal connected with it. It's just earthly. Now look at Isaiah 42 verse 1. He says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect." Who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the elect. He says, "In whom my soul delighteth." All right. The Lord delights in Jesus. He does not delight in us. See, that's what man don't like. Man wants to think, oh, the Lord's delighting in me. No, he's not. No, he's not. Why? Our vile bodies. You imagine what? All right, a lot of these people who think they're so good, you know, they talk about, well, I actually am. I've heard people say, I actually am a pretty good person. Let's put your thoughts on the screen for the last 24 hours and let's see how good you are. Look, y'all, I'm going to tell you something. I'd run as far as I could go if I thought my thoughts were that go up for the last 24 hours and everybody read them. None good, no, not one. All right, so it says, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, let me show you this. It talks about the elect. And it talks about it being in Christ. You know, we read in Ephesians. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Why are we jumping around like this? I like how the Bible, the Lord puts these things here and there. The Bible says here a little, there a little. Amen. You know why? Because he wants you to study.
Amen.
You know, if God, wouldn't it be something if God just come down through there and he just like a regular book, and he just put all this stuff down here and he says, this is how it's going to be a millennium on this chapter right here. And you got a whole thing and that's all you've got. You know, we'd read the thing through one time, put the book over in the corner and wouldn't read it anymore.
Yep.
Why? Because that's just how the flesh is. But man, he wants you to turn through there and get a little nugget here and a little there and fellowship. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at this. It says this in verse number, did I say chapter number 2? Yeah, chapter number 2, verse number 6. And wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Watch this. Elect. That's the Lord Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, what you'll find is that Christ is the elect, and the Bible says you're chosen in him. So guess what? You know that he's not talking about God way out there somewhere saying, I'm going to choose this right here and I'm going to choose that one for heaven. I'm going to choose that one for hell. That's not what God does. God said he chose you in him. So guess what? Christ is the elect and you're not chosen until you're in him. He's chosen you in him. All right. So I said that so many times to say this. Since Christ is the elect and he's the one that was way out there before the beginning of the world, all the blessings are in him. All the eternal salvation is in him and everything that you can get that's worth anything is in him. So guess what? You got to be in him to get it. Now, how can that apply to you before the foundation of the world? Because he was there before the foundation of the world. And once you get in him, what applies to Christ applies to you. So I hope that makes sense. It can't apply to you until you're in Christ. Christ didn't make robots. That's one of the things. This is one thing I have against this doctrine here that's so false, is that they hold you accountable for not accepting Christ. But what about the ones there who's been predestined to hell? So they're held accountable, but the other ones aren't. You know, it don't make any sense. See, you can't say a loving God can't be up there and say, now how come you didn't trust me? Well, you didn't. You said I couldn't. You said I couldn't trust you. You've got a God that's got enough power. He's not scared to say, look, I sent my only begotten Son, and I said this right here. If you trust him, you can get in him and get all those blessings that were way out there. But if you don't trust him, you're not going to get them. That to me, that shows more power. I mean, why? Because he's not scared. Look, he even gave his angels. He even made them free more angels. The Bible says that they fail. Now look, a scared God would just say, I'm going to program them to where they can't do anything. Why? He's a powerful man. He says, look, he says, do good or do evil that we may behold it in Isaiah. Why? He says, it's not going to make no difference to him. Why? Because God's will be done. Does that mean you're not going to be able to overcome God with your free will? You can't take your free will. He's so powerful and cast his throne down. The devil said, I will. Well, you can will all you want to, but you can't knock me down. Does that make sense? That to me, God gets more glory by showing that, look, He is long-suffering. He's kind, but at the same time, He foreordained a method that if you would trust His Son, you could get in His Son and get all the blessings. But look, it gives Jesus Christ the glory by saying, look, some man's not going to be able to will his own way to be able to get it. I'll show you one that just popped in my mind here. And just since we're looking, look at John, I think it's John chapter 1. This should be a good one. I hope maybe this will be able to help you to be able to help somebody. That's what we're trying to do. I'm not trying to say I'm right and everybody else is wrong, but I will say this. The Bible's right and everybody else is wrong. That's what I want to say this right here, that God has got the thing written down in there where if we will look at it, and look at it in light of what the Bible says, you'll get the truth of it, and then you'll get confidence out of it. Why? There's confidence in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you, I don't have a bit of confidence in me. I fail. It just amazes me how each day it just seems like I get worse instead of better. But you know what? I thank God I can have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Why? Because all those blessings are in Him. I'm in Him. And guess what? If I fall down and I fumble from there, at least I'm able to be with Him from here on out in eternity. I've at least got something good to look forward to. All right, now look at verse number 13. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. All right. Well, somebody take that thing right there and see, you're not born of the will of the flesh, and they take out your will. Well, what are we talking about here? Look at this in verse 12. Here's the stipulation. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Then He says that thing right there. Why? By the will of the flesh, you can't by your own will say, I'm going to get to heaven my way.
Right.
The will of the flesh can't determine. That goes back over the road. The will of the flesh can't determine and say, I'm going to get to God like Oprah Sinfrey says, multiple ways up the mountain. You can't do that. Why? The will of the flesh don't have that power. Why? You got to come the way God says come, and that's through His Son. All right, and does that make sense on the will there? Why? If you come His way, He'll let you get in there. But the will of the flesh can't do it. All right. Now, there's the according as He has chosen. Now, let me tell you about the time of the chosen. The Bible says before the foundation. Now, according to the Bible, there was no bloodshed in eternity past. Christ died in time. All right. So guess what? You must be in Christ in time. All right, now we read in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, that heat, I tell you what. I'm about to knock it back. I'm trying to help you out. I know it breaks your concentration sometimes, but we got to get these things here. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then I'll show you something else in chapter 2 again. All right, it says this. Elect according to, now watch this. The foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It says the sprinkling of the blood. There was no bloodshed in eternity past. So guess what? Election is always based on foreknowledge. Through God's foreknowledge. Look, nothing takes God by surprise. Y'all, God knew who was going to choose Him and who wasn't way out there. But it's all these things, it's based on foreknowledge. Every single time you'll see that thing. I could take you right through there and show you. But what I'm saying is this. Here's sometimes you'll get some confusion. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. That's why you have to go by that old rule. Context, context, context. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. This is neat to me. And at the same time now, this is something so important. Why? Because the way you treat this Word of God right here is going to have something to do with how you're dealt with, if that makes any sense. This word of God is a precious, precious thing. I can't emphasize it enough because you know what happened? It'll show you the motives of your heart. The Bible said it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you know what you'll find out? If you're dead toward that Word, That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. You know what happened? The Bible talks about those being past feeling. If you ever get to where that word don't bother you, you're in a bad shape. They're in a bad shape. Why? Because you're getting to where you're past feeling. You know what gets you past feeling? Playing too much. The Bible said they sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Now this right here is a picture of it. I can take my guitar in there and I can play that guitar. You know what happens? Over time I'll get calluses on the ends of my fingers. You know what? Before long I can play all I want to and won't feel a thing. You know what happens? Too much playing in the world. Playing here and playing there. Before long, hey, I've been there. I know. Before long, you can't hardly feel anything. God's trying to knock on the heart's door there and tell you something. Hey, you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be doing that. And you know what happens? Just calloused.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, I'm telling you, that word, we need that word to come in and keep that flesh knocked back. Why? Keep you sensitive. Keep you sensitive to the Spirit. Look at this. 1 Peter 2, verse 8. This is what the Lord is. He's a stone, it says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even of them which stumble at the word. What do they stumble at, y'all? The word. All right? It says being disobedient. Why? How did they do it? Because their disobedience makes you stumble. You know what? If you'll come to that book with an honest heart and a humble mind, and you'll come to that thing right there and you say, Lord, I'm not good for nothing, but I tell you what, I'll at least try to obey what I read. You know what happened? You won't stumble around in that book. He'll get you to the truth. He'll get you to somebody who can help you. He'll get you to something. And I tell you, I've seen it in my life. He's got me to somebody who could help me. If I just say, Lord, if you'll show me, I'll do it. If you'll show, I'll accept it, Lord, if you'll show me. All right, disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. Now watch this. It says in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priest, a priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what you'll find out? It said they were appointed. In that text right there, the appointment is to the consequences of their stumbling. God doesn't foreordain the choice, but listen to this, the consequences of the choice. You know what he's saying? If you stumble at that word, there are consequences. If you come there and it's appointed there, that look, if you stumble at that word, that's the problem. It said they stumbled at the word. And you're disobedient, guess what happens? An old preacher said this, and I commit it to memory. It says you can choose. You got a choice to choose, but you can't choose the consequences of the choice. God has foreordained a thing, this right here, that if you choose the wrong thing, the consequences are there. And there's no going back. There's nothing you can do about it. If you stumble at the word, and you know what the word says? The word says, whosoever believeth. And the word says, whosoever, over and over and over. But you know what? If you choose to go the wrong way, those consequences right there, he said, you're appointed and that's it. It's nothing you can do about it. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people that's going to meet that appointment. Why? The Bible said it is appointed on the man once to die. He's made an appointment. And unless we get out in the rapture, guess what? Everybody is going to die. Statistics are one in one dies. And you know what you'll find out there? That Bible over and over and over tells you, you must be in Christ. Why? Because if you're not in Christ, you're going to be in old Adam. And you know what? There's no righteousness in old Adam. And God's a holy and just God. And just like the old preachers, you say he must punish sin. So you know what he's going to do? You don't have the righteousness. Like the story he gave, you don't have the wedding garment. You don't have the garment on. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to go to hell. And you know what he says? They're appointed. Why? Those consequences are an appointed. And that thing, the appointment is to the consequences that are stumbling. And you'll see this. So guess what? God established a fixed moral law that if you are disobedient to the word, you will stumble. It's fixed in that verse right there. So in other words, that sword, that word is a double-edged sword, the Bible said. It can either cut you to free you, or it can cut you to slay you. And the Bible said, I've hewn them and Micah by the prophets. You know what happens? The Bible, you come through here like this right here, and these prophets speaking to you, and there's prophecy of this book speaking to you, and y'all know that well as I do, anybody that's got enough sense to think, can say, look, there's no way that all those prophecies could have come to pass and it hadn't been a God-written book. So you know what? If all those prophecies are true, the prophecies in there that say that if you don't trust Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell, they're true too. Right. And he warned you. It's a plenty of ample warning there. So here's something I want to read to you. You were not in Christ before Genesis 1, nor was anyone else. Christ's body did not start in Acts 2. You got to realize, you can't be in the body of Christ before the body started. All right? God gave us certain things in Christ. Now watch this. Here's the blessing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to tell you that a lot of times, you know, we preach hellfire and brimstone, but at the same time, you got to realize this. God is not up in the clouds waiting to beat you up. Right. But look, y'all, this is, you got to get the blessing the right way.
That's right.
You can't expect, you know, that's like with us, we've got kids. I want to bless my kid. I want to get things for the kid, but I can't bless their disobedience.
Right.
They can't get out here and tear everything off the front porch and me say, oh, don't worry about it. Come on in here and let's eat some ice cream. No, you're going to get your butt whipped.
That's right.
Well, you got a loving father, and guess what? That loving father, if you do wrong, he's going to have to punish that thing, but at the same time, he dealeth with you as sons. The Bible says, you endure chastisement. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I thank the Lord for it. Now, man, Lord, I'm not saying I want some chastisement right now, but you know what? I know he's dealing with me as a son. I can do something wrong, and I tell you what, man, that Holy Ghost to come in there and convict my heart and say, you know that wasn't right. And you know what? At the same time, it hurts, but at the same time, I say, thank the Lord that he loves me enough to tell me I shouldn't have done that. He loves me enough to tell me that was wrong, loves me enough to get me where I know I need to get in that Bible, I need to be praying. And man, that blesses my heart that he loves me enough to not to let me go. Wow, you wonder why some of these people don't get any conviction, nothing happens. Why? Not his child. He's not going to whip somebody, not his child. And so, look at 2 Timothy 1:9. You're going to see this blessing here. You got to get it the right way. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, where at? In Christ. See, it's showing you over and over. Christ, he had Christ as the elect. He's way out there. He had all those things in there. And you get them when you get in him.
Yeah.
Now, if you want them, you got to get in him. Jesus, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. Now, I said all that to say this too. If all the blessings are in Christ and we're not following Christ, we wonder why we're not getting the blessings. You know, the charismaniacs and all this stuff, they say, you got to do this and that. And they put all these stipulations, sow me a money seed. And some people say, well, I hadn't tithed, so I'm not getting blessings. Look, the Bible says that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you follow him, he will guide you and lead you. And in that walk right there, there's blessings of being in that walk. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another. Being out of fellowship is what knocks you out of blessing. And the thing too, we think about, and I know if y'all are anything like me, I think about the physical first thing. You know what? One of the most blessing things that you can get in Christ is answered prayer.
Yeah.
That you can go to the Lord whenever you're hurting. You can go to the Lord when you need comfort. You can go to the Lord whenever you need those things that are in Christ and say, Lord, I need your help right now. I'm casting my cares on you and I need your help. I'm going to tell you something. It don't get no better than that. Why? Because there's going to be there's things money can't buy.
Right.
Money cannot buy you peace. Money can't buy you a good relationship with your family, a good relationship with your friends, and a good relationship. Money can't do that. You got all those things are in Christ, and he's the foundation. And guess what? Nothing's going to last unless it's in Christ. Why? Eternity is only in Christ. He's the eternal one. So guess what? Anything else that is not in Christ is not going to last.
Yeah.
That's like our fellowship here. You know why the Lord's blessing things, and we love these studies and stuff like that. I tell you why. Because as long as Christ is getting the glory, the things in Christ, it'll work and it'll go. And if it's not in Christ, well, it's just the flesh anyway, so it's just going to fizzle out.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? In Christ are all these blessings, and you get them in him. And I guess I'm going to stop there because the next one's going to take a while, but we'll stop on that one.